Chag of the Mittler Rebbe. Mittler Rebbe was released from prison. Actually, he wasn't at that point. I don't think he was actually in prison. He was on the house arrest. But to the taps. What's unusual about this Chag Geula is that we don't see in the Teres of the Mittler Rebbe, we don't see any real difference between before and after. In fact, this Chag Geula took place less than 1 year before his Histalkus. The Stavis of the Mittler Rebbe was on Tes Kislev of the following year. So it comes out that the Chag Geula, the release of the Mittler Rebbe from prison, was less than 1 year before his Histalkus. And almost all of the Teres that we have from the Mittler Rebbe was tremendously prolific in his teaching of Chassidus. And yet, almost everything we have is from before that. So the unique quality of the Mittler Rebbe, which is generally described as the Indian of Rechavis Hanor de Bina, which means that the tremendous detail in taking the teachings of the Alter Rebbe and bringing them down with detailed explanations and mishalim and examples and sukkim and applying the ideas and doing an extremely thorough examination of each one of the Alter Rebbe's and my mother. And yet, this seems to all have taken place before his Chag Geula. So the unique contribution of the Mittler Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe Yutes Kislev, the Alter Rebbe Yutes Kislev, there was a tremendous difference between the Maimarim that was said before Yutes Kislev and the Maimarim that was said after Yutes Kislev. The Maimarim that was said before Yutes Kislev were very brief. And they were basically points rather than long discussions which elaborated and explained and articulated the ideas and concepts. It was mainly in my mind that he said before Yutes Kislev, before his redemption. Very brief, some to the point. And to my mind that he said after Yutes Kislev, after his redemption, well, my mind that were tremendously, were much more developed and much more detailed and much more at length. But by the Mittler Rebbe, we have this, so we could clearly see how the Chag Geula is the point at which the real Yafutsu Ma'inasecha begins. The real spreading of the wellspring outward, the real transition from of Chassidus from the realm of which transcends intellect into the world of intellect, the real turning point is Yutes Kislev, to the point that in Hayem Yem he brings from the letter of the Rebbe Rashab, but the Rebbe Rashab says about Yutes Kislev, Ze Hayem Tchilas Masach, this is the day which is the beginning of your actions. This is the beginning of Tachlis HaKavana HaMitis B'Briyas HaAdam. The Yutes Kislev is the first day. The Yutes Kislev is the first day of the revelation of the true purpose of man's creation. Now is actually, we're finally coming to, we already had creation, we already had Matan Torah, we already had the Nevi'im and the Tanoim and the Amirim, we already had all kinds of tremendous, the Mishnah and the Gemara, we had all Torah Shebuchsav, Torah Shebalteh, Kabbalah, we had all of this. But Tachlis HaKavona B'Briyas HaAdam, the true ultimate purpose of the creation of man on this earth, is actually coming to its true fulfillment starting with Yutes Kislev. Which is a very strong statement to make. I mean, it's not a little claim. It's not a little you know, it's a nice private Yom Tov that Hasidim have an excuse to make a L'chaim and get a little happy and be mechazing. The Rebbe Rosh Hashanah is saying that Yutas Kislev, this is the day ordained by God as the beginning of the fulfillment of man's true purpose on this earth. The revelation of man's true purpose on this earth. It's not something that's private to Hasidic Chabad. It is not something that's not only is it not private to the Alter Rebbe, it's not private to the Lubavitch Hasidim. It's Pashut, the day in which the true purpose of creation became revealed. The true purpose and the true direction of how man should fulfill his purpose on this earth started coming to fruition on Yud Kislev. But Yud Kislev, what's the significance of Yud Kislev? Whatever the main contribution of the Mittler Rebbe, the Chavis HaNohar, the Bina, the flowing of the river, and the tremendous expansionism of Chassidus in explanation and in its spreading its teachings and in organizing the more learned to educate the less learned. All of that he did before his redemption. So what's his redemption all about? What is this redemption that we celebrate? Which, what was it a turning point for? Our redemption, we understand, our redemption is not just Geulah is not just something which for a private individual before he was in prison and now he's free. When we refer to a redemption means a transition from one state of being to another. A transition from being in exile to being to redemption. From exile to redemption is a tremendous transition. And if we're saying that this is a redemption, so what kind of redemption was it? This is a redemption that's meant to be celebrated by all Jews. What kind of redemption was it? Even by the Friedrich Rebbe of Chagagula, Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tammuz, so you could see there was this tremendous force that came up in the world, communism, which set out to oppose God and godliness and anyone who's involved in spreading godliness. And that force, which set that as its goal and its agenda, cracked. It broke. It caved. It arrested. It had in its clutches the man who represented the ultimate in terms of spreading godliness in the world. And it caved. That's it. It lost. And even deeper, the people themselves that had him arrested, they were the people that had to free him. But you could see where it's a turning point in history. So even though you didn't see exactly immediately after the time that the whole course of history changed, but looking back now, where we see that the whole course of history has changed, we can look back and say that's a turning point. But when we're talking about the Mittler Rebbe, Chagagula, what was a turning point for what? What turned? What changed? What moved? What budged? What happened? So, b'chlal, in order to understand what's so special about the Chag HaGeulah of the Mittler Rebbe, you have to b'chlal realize that all the Chag HaGeulah was not a geulah for the individual who was redeemed. The Chag HaGeulah of Yitzhak Kislev was not for the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe, in and of himself, did not change before Yitzhak Kislev and after Yitzhak Kislev. The change was primarily to what degree the Alter Rebbe was permitted to impact on the world. To what degree the Alter Rebbe was permitted to reveal his teachings in the world. So the Alter Rebbe himself was completely unaffected by the whole event. In fact, whatever Michlal, Anasi, a Rebbe, a Tzaddik, is whatever he is in whatever situation he finds himself. There is no force or power in the world that could limit or constrain him. And there were countless stories throughout his arrest and exile which show that when he didn't want the wagon to drive on Friday afternoon, and he said he's not interested in being in a coach that's traveling after the noonday hour, so the coach stopped moving. And when they fixed the axle, the horse died. And when they got the new horse, so the whole thing fell apart. It couldn't move. The horses wouldn't move. They wouldn't budge. And when Altadeva asked the fellow driving the boat from the prison to the courthouse, the police stopped the boat. He refused. So the boat stopped on its own. So it certainly is completely... Well, the so-called constraints and limitations, the so-called imprisonment, had nothing to do with him. He was going through a situation because of the geula that was going to follow. Not for himself, but for everybody else. That the wellspring should be able to go out of it. That's the reason he went through the whole thing for. He didn't have to go through it. There's no force in the world that. In fact, when he came out and he met Rabbi Chaim Mesrish says, "What'd you go through the whole thing in the first place? You could have just gone like this, and it would have never happened." Well, the Rebbe says, the kavana is to do the avodah in the world, not to break the world, not to go with miracles and break the world. The kavana is, the purpose is to do avodah in the world. Because Altadeva said, I wasn't done to do it me. For my own sake, I could do this. I could do that same kunst, and there's no arrest, and there's no imprisonment, there's nothing. But for the sake of the world, for the sake of fulfilling the divine purpose of the world, for the sake of fulfilling the divine purpose of the Jewish people, that's why I went through. That's why I go through this. So when we celebrate a Chagagul of Yutas Kislev, we're not celebrating for the Altarev. We're celebrating that the fact that Altarev went through the arrest and imprisonment and liberation for us, for the world, and for the and to fulfill the ultimate purpose of Christ. So that each and every one of us could do our part in fulfilling the ultimate purpose of creation. That's what he did it for. And the same thing the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe was the communist. Throughout this whole description of the event, he shows you on the one hand how he's completely unaffected by the whole thing. How he's mamish above the whole situation. On the other hand, he describes feelings of pain and loneliness, and he describes feelings of someone who is going through it. So the question, you read his description, is he in the experience or is he above the experience? Which is it? The answer is, in and of himself, he's above the whole experience. Why is he putting himself into the experience? Why is he going through the experience? He's going through the experience in order to experience an exile and then a redemption, because in order to fulfill the purpose of the creation of the world for us, so that a Jew everywhere in the world should be able to do his avodah, and there's no force in the world that can oppose him. That's why he did it. So the question is not only what is the significance of the Chagagul of the Mitzvah Rebbe, the question is, what does that have to do with us? What changed? If in his Chassidus, I don't see any, in terms of the Chassidus that I have from the Mitzvah Rebbe, I don't see any difference. The most of what I have from before. Yud Kislev. So what changed? What did he go through, and what was the redemption? No. when we talk about what's unique about the Mittler Rebbe, so the Tzemach Tzedek said on the Mittler Rebbe that if you would cut my father-in-law's finger, it wouldn't come out blood, come out Chassidus. If you cut his finger, it would come out Chassidus. To the point that the Mittler Rebbe exclusively was engaged in the teaching of Chassidus. From the Alter Rebbe we have a Shulchan Aruch. From the Tzemach Tzedek we have Shailos Tshuvos. From the Alter Rebbe we have Nigla. From the Tzemach Tzedek we have Nigla. They just came out, mamish, not long ago, with some stuff that he had written for himself on the side, notes to himself that he had written on the side of his Shulchan Aruch. But from the Mittler Rebbe was not teaching Nigla. In fact, there's a letter where he writes that he met Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Rebbe Akiva Eiger wanted to talk to him in learning, and he said, ask me whatever you want, and I'll send your questions to my son-in-law. This is not for me. The Tzemach Tzedek writes that he never sent out a tshuva without showing it first to his father-in-law. Which means that whatever the Tzemach Tzedek wrote had to first be cleared by the Mittler Rebbe. So clearly, the Mittler Rebbe was at least equal, if not superior. If the Tzemach Tzedek had the first clearance with the Mittler Rebbe. And yet, when he met Rebbe Akiva Eiger, Rebbe Akiva Eiger wanted to talk to him, Lenny. To me? Talk to my son-in-law. And when Rebbe Akiva Eiger asked him about the Inyanim of Chassidus, he explained to him some Inyanim of Chassidus. But when he came on to talk to him, Lenny, he got the wrong guy. In his avodah was also exclusively in his avodah in the world was exclusively in the realm of chassidus. What does it mean that you cut open his finger and it wouldn't come out blood but chassidus? You also find another major difference, which is why originally the Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe had trouble adjusting, was that by the Alter Rebbe, when he said Chassidus, was bespilus. When the Alter Rebbe said Chassidus, he was on fire. And there were times that it would get to the point where the Alter Rebbe would start rolling on the floor. The fire of the chassidus that he was revealing, to a point that Alter Rebbe would be in a state where he would almost be rolling on the floor. By the Mittler Rebbe sat like cool, calm, like regular, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing unusual. He wasn't going wild. He was just talking to him. And the Mittler Rebbe could go on for hours and hours and hours. There were times that he said chassidus for 8, 10 hours. He'd go on and on and on, just talk. The Alter Rebbe is davening. The Alter Rebbe is davening was on fire. The Mittler Rebbe, everybody is davening. You stood still. You couldn't see anything. Well, my sir. Tzemach Tzedek says that you would have touched that the outside of his hat was soaking, was dripping, Rishtaima was dripping water from the sweat. But when you looked at him, you didn't see anything. It's calm, still, he didn't shake, he didn't move, he didn't budge. So the Inyan of the Mittler Rebbe, the Inyan that the Mittler Rebbe broke through for the world, that the Rebbe broke through the Inyan of Yafut Zuman HaZachachutz, that Chassidus could go from the realm of, that transcends understanding into the realm of intellect, into the realm of understanding. But if something could enter into the realm of understanding and yet you sense that it's beyond your understanding. Sometimes you could hear something. Sometimes you go to a shir, you go to a speech, you go to a drasha, you hear, and while you're hearing it, it's like, wow, it makes so much sense. And then someone asks you an hour later, what did the speaker say? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. You can't repeat it.
Why not?
It made so much sense when you were hearing it, when you were listening to it, it was so clear. It made so much sense to you. But an hour later, what did he say? I think the topic was whatever. But I don't know exactly, but it was really good. It was like great. It was a wonderful. What does that mean? That means that there's sometimes things that you can experience. You can have an intellectual experience, but it didn't become part of you. You could have an intellectual experience, you could be wowed. And you could really feel that your mind was working. It wasn't that you were fooling yourself. Your mind was working. But you heard it, but it didn't become part of you. Because it was on the one hand, it was intellectual, but on the other hand, it was hovering in your intellect. It didn't settle. It didn't become part of your way of thinking. Didn't become part of your repertoire of ideas. It's not your, it didn't become yours. We find in Limud HaTorah that we find the Gemara, yes, that one pasuk refers to the Torah as God's Torah. And one pasuk refers to the pasuk as the person's Torah. In fact, in the same passage, we find it says, "Kim b'seiras Hashem chafzai." In the Torah of God is His desire, u'b'seirasai, and in His Torah, yege yevam v'layla. He's busy with the day and night. So is it God's Torah or is it His Torah? So the Gemara says that it's not first; it's God's Torah, and when the person acquires it, it becomes His Torah. So generally, people understand that it's like this mystical transition, that it somehow it becomes you, which is true. But on the most simple level, what does it mean? God's Torah becomes your Torah when it's still God's Torah. I could learn a block Gemara, no problem, and enjoy it. But it didn't become part of my way of thinking. It didn't become me. Because if you'll ask me about it an hour later, a week later, a month later, a year later, whatever, I might find it easier looking at it a second time, but I don't know it. I forgot it. What do you mean you forgot it? How do you forget something? You forget something because it's not part of you. If it's part of you, you don't forget. A chassid once came to the Chiddushi Harim, first Rebbe of Ger. And he was crying to him that he forgets his learning. So the Chiddush HaRim said to him, he said, I want to ask you a question. He says, did you ever, when you were eating, by mistake, pick up the fork and stick the food in your ear instead of in your mouth? Did you ever forget that the food goes in your mouth? So he said, no. He says, Taylor, you can forget. But that the food goes in your mouth, not in your ear, that you can't forget. Why not? Because that's you. That's negay you, that's your life. What do you mean? I eat to live, it's my life. So if you're forgetting pain, that means it's not your life. It's something that you do. It's a part of your life. It may even be a part of your life that you enjoy. But it's a part of your life you could also live without. What's the proof? Because you're living without it. If you can live without it, you won't. If you're living without it, obviously you think you can. So, you could bring Hasidus into the realm of intellect, and it will be in the realm of intellect like countless other things that are in the realm of intellect. Very nice. It's in the realm of intellect. You can understand it. You can enjoy it. You can be tremendously inspired by it. A person can go to a speech, really hear the speech while he's there, get really inspired, make real serious changes in their life, and they forget the speech. They don't remember what was said. Because the main thing they took from it was that I have to become a better person. What he actually said that made me come to that conclusion, I don't know. So you can learn Chassidus the same way. You could learn a Maimon Lakuta Teira. Very inspiring. It's all about love. What's a Maimon Lakuta Teira? It's about love. This kind of love and that kind of love and the other kind of love, and the way you get this love is this way, the way you get that love is that. It's about love. Love and tshuva and more love and more. That's what it's about. So you can learn a Maimon from Lakuta Teira and you can mamish be on fire. The Chassidim, even in Tevchet Tvinim, the Chassidim, the Rebbe Rashab, the Tavim Barichas, most of them davened with Lakuta Teira, not with the Rebbe Rashab's Maimon. The Rebbe Rashab's Maimon, they learned. But the Davin, they davened with Lakuta Teira. Because Lakuta Teira, that's about love. It talks to your heart. So it's wisdom, it's intellect. But it's intellect that it doesn't necessarily become my way of thinking. It's ideas which have an effect on me, but they don't necessarily become me. And people do this all the time. We see it all the time. You have an idea, it's something which inspired you and moved you and was a source of inspiration for you for a while. And a lot down the road, you forget it. You used it, you applied it, and you went on. You forgot it. The Mittler ever came along, not just to make Chassidus more understandable. The Mittler ever came along to make Chassidus become you. Not a part of your life. It's not a rewarding, inspiring, moving, fulfilling, satisfying part of your life. That's not what the Mittler Rebbe came to do. The Mittler Rebbe came to make it possible that Chassidus should be your life. The Alter Rebbe said, that which we worked on, me and my fellow students by the market worked on for years to break ourselves, according to the Mittler Rebbe, says he was born with. That's his reality. That's who he is. If you cut his finger, there's no blood. Cut his finger, there's no blood. Chassidus is what he is. So he's not rolling on the ground. And he's not jumping up and down. And he's not. Because those are things in which you're trying to bring something into something that it's not. The Alter Rebbe was trying to bring Chassidus, which is higher than the world, into the world. So there's a tremendous resistance. But the Mittler Rebbe is the next step. That is the reality of the world. The Mittler Rebbe said, what do you want with all this Chassidus? Teaching and writing and sending out people from place to place to teach it and to... What do you want? He said, I want that with two people meet on the street, two Chassidus Chabad meet on the street, they should talk about Atik and Arach.
What?
About Atik and Arach. The supernal, the infinite aspects of godliness. So what is that? What does that mean? He wants you to learn a lot of Chassidus, right? He wants that should be their life. When you meet a person on the street, what are you talking about? What's happening in your life? That's what you ask. How's life? What's going on in your life? So what's the answer? So when somebody asks you, what's going on in your life? You tell them how your stomach feels that day, how your head feels, how your job is doing, how your family is. He wants to know about your life. That's not what the Mitzvah Rebbe came. The Mitzvah Rebbe came along said, no, that's not your life. When somebody comes along and asks you, how's life? What's going on in your life? The answer has to be, Atzik and Arach. What's going on in your life? God! Chassidus! That's what's going on in my life. That's my life. That's it. That's what I have. That's what I'm about. And anything else that I do is anything else that's going on in my life is also as an expression of Chassidus. To bring Chassidus down to pay a mark. His brother, when the Mitzvah Rebbe became a chassan, so his father prepared him for his chassan. He told him many Maimonides chassidus, explaining the inyan of chassan. Of course, he went through the halachas. This is when he came, the night after his chassan, he came, he was, the kala came out crying, whatever, he was sitting in the one corner of the room, and he had put on his gartel, and he said, Krishna Alamita. And then when he realized that what's expected of him, the next step, he vomited. He was physically ill, he vomited. To realize that all the things that he learned in Torah, in Chassidus, and he had to actually carry it out, he had to actually go through it, made him physically ill. And it took him time, after that, I had to bring him down, had to give him my mother that were more down to earth so that he could be able to go through with the physical act that he had to do. Wow. Unbelievable story. The Mitzvah Rebbe was so great and so holy. Yippee. What's that to us? The answer is that by the Mitzvah Rebbe, anything, Chassidus is life, Torah is life. And anything else that you have to do in this world only has a place if it's a direct expression of faith. Because it's what Torah says. The concept of being involved in the physical world, because it's what the physical world demands. To someone whose life is Torah, that's totally revolting. It's only through Torah. It's only through being explained to the Yonam as they are in Torah that he's able to even relate to the physical. So even though we're coming from the other direction, obviously we're coming from the direction that we relate to the physical world. And we have troubles relating to Chassidus. But the idea that we were told this story is that this is a way that this is something we can emulate. Not necessarily the actual event that took place, but to live with such a view of reality. Chassidus is life. Torah is life. That's life. And everything else, and everything that we relate to is only in the context of Chassidus, in the context of Torah. But the Mitzvah Rebbe was born into it. The Mitzvah Rebbe was born into it. What does it have to do with me? I'm not born that way. For me, it requires tremendous crushing. For me, it requires tremendous. I have to break my nature. I have to transform my whole nature. What does it have to do with me? It was very interesting, it's very nice, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but that's who he was, that's how he was, that's when he was born, that was how his avodah whole life, what does it have to do with me? And that's where the Mitzvah Rebbe went through, an imprisonment and a redemption. So that it should have to do with me. He went through the crushing, he went through the exile, he went through the experience. Why? So that I could make Chassidus my reality. That he could convey to the world not only the teachings of Chassidus and explanations of Chassidus, but that those teachings and those explanations should become the reality of Chassidus. That's what the Mitzvah Rebbe went through. Chaim, Chaim. And having a Rebbe doesn't mean that I have one in a chain of Rebbes. I have a Rebbe who's one of a chain. No. But there were other Rebbes. No, that's not what it means to have a Rebbe. To have a Rebbe means I have one Rebbe, there is no other. That's what it means to have a Rebbe. To have a Rebbe means a Rebbe is only one. Not one of a series. One and only one. So if there's one and only one, so what do I have to do with the middle of it? So the Rebbe answers that when we talk about any of the earlier Rebbeim, we talk about them in the context of our Rebbe. We refer to him as he is Kolo in our Rebbe. Since each Rebbe includes all those that preceded him, was. So when we talk about the Mitzvah Rebbe, we're not relating to that individual outside of our relationship with our Rebbe. We are relating to the Mitzvah Rebbe and his contributions as it is expressed through our Rebbe. It's part of our relationship with our Rebbe. It's not, God forbid, a relationship with that we have a number of Rebbes. So the question is, how do we relate to the Mitzvah Rebbe through our Rebbe? Very nice. The Mitzvah Rebbe, Ad Chag HaGeula, and made it possible that the Chassidus should become reality, should become the reality of a Chassid. But what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with my relationship with my Rebbe? Meister, if you look at the Hanag of the Mitzvah Rebbe, you see that in many ways the Hanag of the Rebbe was a reverse of the Hanag of the Mitzvah Rebbe. You see it to some degree in the Tzemach Tzedek, that it was a very sharp departure from the Hanag of the Mitzvah Rebbe who immediately preceded it. But it's even greater, more emphasized more in the Rebbe. In many, many areas. And yet, there's obviously an inyan of the Mitzvah Rebbe that we could take from our Rebbe. In the context of the Nesius and Anhaga of our Rebbe. There's a story with the Mitzvah Rebbe that one of his daughters was married to... One of his daughters was married to a son of Rav Matla Chernobyl. And at the time when Rav Hill Potich left Chernobyl and went to the Mitzvah Rebbe, Mordechai Chernobyl was quite upset. And when his daughter-in-law went home to her father for Yom Tov, he told her that she should tell her father that he was sent back Rav Hill Potich or keep your daughter. Either send back Rav Hill Potich or don't bother sending back your daughter. So the Mitzvah Rebbe sent his daughter back with the message, tell her of Matla Chernobyla. Tell her of Matla Chernobyla that he could keep seven of my daughters. I wouldn't trade them for one chas. if he thinks that he's offering me In exchange, he should know that he could have seven of my daughters and I'm not sending him back one of them. It's a shot. Pastor Shalom, the Middle Rebbe, was a cruel person. He's not a loving father. And you can't be a Rebbe. You can't be a Rebbe unless you have infinite Avos Yisrael. What does it mean? And Avos Yisrael includes your own children too. What does it mean that he's willing to trade seven daughters for one father? Or that he would not be willing to exchange, in other words. And the answer is that what the Mittler Rebbe was trying to break through, this inyan that we said that the Mittler Rebbe was trying to accomplish, to make possible, that Chassidus should become a person's reality. But Sof Kol Sof, it meant that Chassidus should become a person's spiritual reality. The Avodah was still primarily in the realm of the spiritual, meaning that someone should be so involved in the understanding and the teaching of Chassidus that his physical bonds with the physical world should be weakened. That was what he was trying to accomplish. That the person should so become identified with Chassidus, that Chassidus is reality, that he doesn't relate to the physical reality anymore. So what he, the message that he was sending to Matlat Shinovel is that you're trying to impress me with, in other words, you're trying to pit my natural, the natural physical love that a parent has for a child against my devotion to my chassid. So that is what the Mittler Rebbe was saying, and that is no comparison. To someone whose reality is chassidus, and his reality is Torah, to try to work on me using my, the natural physical love that a father has for a child is totally meaningless. That's the message that he was trying to send to the Matlat Shinovel. If you think that I am impressed, that what speaks to me is my natural physical love, is my natural physical connectedness to anything in this world, then you don't know who I am. You're talking to the wrong person. My whole point is that to be so totally connected to the reality of Chassidus that nothing else matters. And anything that you do in the physical world should be an outgrowth of that. To that, on the other hand, came along and said the Rebbe on the other hand came along and said I'm not interested in making you such spiritual beings that your connectedness to the physical world is so completely canceled out and nullified by your connectedness to the spiritual reality of Chassidus. That's not what I'm trying to do with you guys. I'm trying to do something very different. On the one hand, I'm trying to do something which very similar, which could only be possible because the Mittler Rebbe came along first. But we want to do something, on the other hand, that's radically different. I want you to take your physical connectedness, your connectedness to things physical. I don't just want you to relate to godliness on the intellectual level, to the point that you don't relate to anything else. I want you to take everything that you relate to in the physical world